Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, the Summer Olympics are underway. Simone Biles and the U.S. Gymnastics team getting the gold medal on Tuesday when we're taping. And, of course, the ratings are a very interesting story in this Olympics. We'll dig into that on the newest edition of the Sports Media Watch podcast. My name is John Lewis, joined as always by Drew Lerner. Please subscribe at the SMW podcast feed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Let's just dive on into the Olympic story. I don't really know what to make of these ratings. I really don't. Because, you know, NBC every single day is just putting out these press releases. Wow, 30 million, 40 million. Sunday night, NBC says 41.5 million viewers tuned in to the Olympics. That's an unbelievable number. Cubs Game 7 level number. But you have to keep in mind, because NBC is airing all of its primetime events during the day, NBC's primetime window now includes the 2 to 5 o'clock afternoon period that is then re-aired in primetime at 8 o'clock. So what you have here is the audience from 2 to 5 plus the audience from 8 to 11. But you also have every NBC network that is airing the Olympics from 2 to 5 is factored in. Now, you could say, well, is that really a big deal? I mean, ultimately, NBC was already adding in its cable networks to the primetime figure in 2016 and 2021. Yeah, that's true. But you know what NBC wasn't doing? They weren't adding in all the stuff that was on cable in the afternoon as well. So this is not just the normal NBC primetime window. It's the normal NBC primetime window, plus everything that's on during the day on cable that would never have been factored into that primetime window. So that includes women's basketball on USA or women's soccer on USA. I mean, it includes a lot of events that were never factored into the primetime window before. And okay, are those going to get you up to 41.5 million? Well, every little bit helps. So you have the combination of afternoon and primetime, the combination of every single NBC network. You have the combination of Nielsen and Adobe Analytics. And, you know, one thing I'm forgetting to add in sometimes is out-of-home viewing. I mean, it's honestly, it's one of those things where this is television ratings. It's not really important. But people draw conclusions about the ratings all the time. Drew, I'll bring you in on that.
Yeah, you know, I've seen a lot of people say that these comparisons are apples and oranges. And I would go beyond that. I think this is like apples and, you know, pickup trucks. You know, I think that's how different these numbers are being measured compared to prior years. I would actually like to seek some clarity from you, John, on just exactly how these numbers are being measured.
Right.
So from my understanding, you know, you're saying they're adding the afternoon window, they're counting that as a prime time window, and then they're adding that with the actual prime time replayed, curated, traditional Olympic broadcasts from 8 to 11 p.m. To me, that means that, say, I'm tuned into NBC during the 2 to 5 p.m. window, and then I'm also tuned in during the primetime window from 8 to 11. Am I being counted as two viewers by this membership? Is there a double counting happening? Because to me, that's what it seems like is possible here.
Well, I don't know. And there's, you know, one thing I've always wondered about with double counting is the NCAA men's basketball tournament, because CBS and Turner get away with counting four different games at four different time slots as the same program because they all have the same advertising. So if I'm watching the final seconds of, you know, Furman versus UVA, and then I'm tuned into the final seconds of Stephen F. Austin versus Houston, and both games are in the same minute of the telecast, am I counted twice in that minute, right? You know, I don't know. I mean, look, let's be 100% real about what all of this is. All of this exists solely for networks to sell time to advertisers. It's not opinion polling. It's not, there's not necessarily some kind of rule that says the numbers have to 100% accurately show how many people are tuning in. This is solely for, as currency for, you know, the purchase of advertising space. And ultimately, you know, I don't know. I mean, obviously, I think NBC made a good decision, a decision that benefits its audience, by deciding to put the best events on live as they aired instead of holding them for prime time. The result of that decision is that NBC's prime time audience on NBC alone, the numbers are not good by the standards of primetime Olympic coverage, which, again, that's not some kind of big scandal or surprise. That was bound to happen. They're airing all these events during the day. So it wouldn't be fair to talk about those numbers in isolation because of that. Now, NBC could have decided, we're just going to take the hit on primetime and say our daytime is up huge. They didn't decide to do that. They decided to do this whole thing about combining the figures. It's kind of like when Tiger won the Masters, but it was during the morning, so CBS didn't get its money's worth. And then they were like, well, if you add in the replay, it was like 18 million. And it's like, well, you know, the real test is going to be in 4 years' time. How is NBC going to look back at these numbers in 4 years when they're doing LA? Because LA will all be in prime time, I'm sure. Are they going to compare to the daytime plus prime time figure from, you know, 2024? I strongly doubt it.
Yeah, that's a great point, John. I hadn't thought about that. Your point about the advertisers, though, it's been an objective success for NBC. I think there's some reporting out today that they've sold over $1.2 billion in advertising for this year's Olympics. You know, that's a huge number. I think on our rights fee table, John, that we just published to the website, NBC pays in the neighborhood of about $700 million per year. So that's including in non-Olympic years. So you could say around $1.4 billion per Olympic cycle is what NBC is paying. And to get $1.2 billion in ad sales already, you know, we're, what, 3 days into the Olympics, they're still selling ad inventory. That's a huge success story for the network. And even, as you mentioned, if the solo NBC primetime window numbers do not look flattering, I still think with, you know, the number of people watching on Peacock and the number of people watching during the day, this is an objective success for NBC through 3 days. And, you know, I don't think there's any signs that it'll slow down necessarily either. I think there's a lot of momentum here.
Well, I will say one thing. I don't think any of the stuff NBC's adding shouldn't be added, right? I do think it's about time they had Nielsen measure Peacock instead of Adobe Analytics. I mean, granted, you know, it's not like, you know, it's not like Nielsen is some kind of sacrosanct company that must not be challenged. But as long as everybody else is going to be using Nielsen, well, then NBC should be using Nielsen and not this TAD thing. But I don't think there's anything that NBC is adding that isn't fair game. But I just think that the way they're going about this, adding that afternoon to the prime time, just be totally transparent and say, our prime time numbers are obviously down because we put these things on during the day. As a result, our daytime numbers are great. And if you, you know, average out over the course of the day, our total day average is blank or whatever. I'm sure, I mean, I don't know. And we'll never know, really, that the total day audience for NBC is higher than it was in Tokyo. But, you know, I mean, like I said, we'll never know. It's up to NBC to, you know, and they have no incentive.
Yeah. You know, and the Olympics have always, you know, traditionally, they've been impossible to compare, especially once you're getting into 2016, 2021. With all of the additional measurements coming in, as you've you know, outlined through your reporting, John, I do want to bring up something new here that NBC has done, and that is the Gold Zone,
yeah,
which has gotten a lot of attention from people covering sports media, and honestly, just you know, from Olympic viewers. Have you tuned into the Gold Zone, John? And if so, what are your opinions on that type of you know, consumption for the Olympics?
I have watched the Gold Zone. I would not have watched it except for the fact that Scott Hansen is hosting it, and you know, they've had Gold Zone before, and I never even knew it existed. But Scott Hansen, who is more associated with NFL Red Zone than Andrew Siciliano, because Siciliano has done Gold Zone before, Scott Hansen is, you know, more associated with Red Zone, that's the reason I'm tuning in. Ironically, I'm usually not making it to his segments because I'm typically only watching Gold Zone early in the morning. So I'm getting, you know, Jack Collinsworth and the other person, sorry to the other person, Matt Ispia, the owner of the Suns. Is that who it is?
Matt Iseman.
Iseman. I was close with Matt Ispia.
So... Gold Zone, you're generally a fan, yeah, of Gold Zone.
I think, well, let's not even talk about Gold Zone. Gold Zone's 2 weeks. We'll all forget it existed very, very quickly. Let's talk about whip around shows. The whip around format is probably the future of sports television. And, you know, people don't have the ability to sit down and commit to a full game unless they are really interested in the game. I am not going to sit down and say, well, I'm going to sit down and watch a whole archery stream. That's absurd. Why would I do that? Take me to whatever the important game is, and then take me to the other important game. And in my view, these are important rights, because this is how people are going to be consuming sports, not necessarily more often than the actual game, but this is a more convenient way. You know, this is kind of the fast channel way of watching sports, right? You just turn it on. It's convenient. You don't have to think about it, and it just works.
Well, when you talk about it like that, it does make, you know, just the traditional national window game seem kind of antiquated, right? You know, when you actually have the ability to, you know, let's say ESPN set aside, you know, a window where typically, you know, it would be there, you know, Saturday night or Saturday afternoon. ABC game of the week for the NBA, right? Let's say instead you're doing a whip around show that's taking up that same window, and you're able to show fans, you know, 5, 6, 7 games at one time, and you're really kind of hedging your bets against, you know, airing a bad game, or perhaps having picked a game where a superstar is injured, so that, you know, the appeal is much less than it would have been. You're giving yourself the ability to, you know, pick and choose what the best and most entertaining option is that day or that night. It kind of seems like a perfect, you know, Like, why would we be just showing one game to begin with, right? Like, why wouldn't we be showing as many games as possible? And you have to think, for the league, that would be better for them too, because you're getting exposure on so many more franchises, so many more players, to a national audience that if you weren't doing a whip around show, they probably wouldn't get.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And to me, I mean, obviously, we don't know how many people watch Red Zone, much less Gold Zone. We don't know. And so all of this might just be the, you know, the people on Twitter who make you think that everyone on Earth is watching Ted Lasso and everyone's watching Succession. And it's not actually the case. That might be what's happening. But, you know, to me, just from the standpoint of what seems to be obvious, it seems to be obvious to me that the ability to sit down and watch bits and pieces of the game that are curated for you is better. There was one of these for the NCAA tournament, wasn't there? On the March Madness Live app, am I right?
You know, you're probably right, but I did not tune in, and I'm not sure it got as much buzz as this Gold Zone is getting, but you would think that would also be, especially the, you know, the first round, the second round, that would kind of be the ideal way to consume that tournament as well.
Well, I mean, not to cut you off, but think about, everyone is so nostalgic, or not everyone, but a lot of people are nostalgic for the days when Greg Gumbel would cut in and say, hey, we're going to take you to the blank region or whatever. I mean, that's kind of the same thing, right? And yeah, I mean, I think it's so much better to just, people are tuning in to turn their brains off. No one wants to do work.
And this, yeah, you're kind of getting at another point here. Is, you know, when you think about the younger audience, the younger viewer, they really don't have the attention span to sit through an entire game. This kind of offers more immediate gratification. You're giving viewers, you know, just the good bits of whatever game you're swapping to. And, you know, hypothetically, it should keep engagement higher than if, you know, you're showing, you know, the fourth quarter of a 30-point game between the Grizzlies and the Thunder, right?
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. You know, I was, I said last week that I thought the NBA did not do what it needed to do with its whip-around show. I still feel that way. It's wasted on ESPN. Half the time it's going to be preempted by college basketball or something, you know, and, you know, the last thing we need is more ESPN NBA studio shows just in general. So to me, you know, those types of rights have value. And I mean, I think, what is MLB Strike Zone that they have? This is one of these for baseball. Everyone's kind of got something like this. And I think, I don't know if it's a future of sports TV, but it seems to be a future of sports TV and a really easy way to get people interested in things they might not otherwise see. So, you know, look, I think it has been a good Olympics for NBC. The only thing that matters is the advertising revenue.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's countrymd.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I think that's a good place to leave that topic, John. I know we've talked about this one for many weeks running, but worth revisiting, and that is, of course, the NBA meteorites saga. We're now getting into the point where Warner Brothers Discovery and the NBA are going back and forth. Litigation is certainly a possibility. I don't know if there's been any new reporting since we recorded last week, John, but there's definitely a discussion to be had here about what Warner Brothers Discovery is doing for their reputation right now with the way they're going about kind of litigating this in the public eye through the media. So what have you kind of seen in terms of their messaging, their PR, when it comes to how they're handling this situation?
Well, I don't know what they're trying to accomplish. To me, the lawsuit the lawsuit could be pragmatic. It could be, we just want to get a settlement. But the PR campaign was ridiculous. I mean, why in the world would you ever try to do that? You have to work with these people again. The rights are going to come up for bid again. And even if you don't get back in with the NBA, there's so many other properties out there. No one's going to take you seriously doing that. That's absurd. So that was a mistake. There's just no other way to put it. That was a mistake. It was a really dreadful decision. I do think that the most important thing right now for WBD is to focus on keeping the National Hockey League and Major League Baseball. Those rights are coming up, not immediately, not for a few years, but they're important because if you get down to zero big four sports, you're done. Turner can't survive that. They don't have enough. And you say, well, what about all these other rights? What, the French Open? The French Open, half the NCAA men's basketball tournament, and who even knows how that's going to be resolved? In 2032, we don't even know if Paramount or WBD will be around then. And what's really funny is that they have to work with Prime on NASCAR. And I mean, they're really working with Prime. They're sharing talent for NASCAR and Prime. And that's going to be fascinating. Like, you have to work with these people. You have to work with Prime. And even if you're not in league with the NBA, you have to work with the leagues. I just don't really get the angle here. So, you know, WBD, this seems like, you know, earlier today on Tuesday, Coco Gauff kind of had a bit of a meltdown on the court. And understandably, it was a bad call, but you could see that she was a teenager by her reaction, right? Even though she is actually not a teenager anymore, but it was a teenager style reaction. And that's kind of what WBD is doing. That's kind of what Zaslav is doing, right? And if you were watching earlier and you could see the tears on Coco Gauff's face, that's kind of what Zaslav is doing right now. It's like, this isn't fair. This isn't fair. And, you know, maybe it's not fair. Maybe the NBA didn't do right by WBD, which, I mean, I don't believe that, but maybe it's not fair. Life is extremely unfair all the time. And it is very easy to get bogged down in how unfair it is and to let it make you make some really dumb decisions, right? For example, you know, Coco probably wasn't going to win that match today, but there was no way she was going to win the match after having, you know, kind of an emotional kind of moment like that. You don't pull back and win the match. For WBD, the match is holding on to these other properties. Don't blow your opportunity to hold on to these other properties by having an emotional reaction that distracts you from your ultimate goal.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there, John. You know, sports is kind of, it's an ego-driven business in a lot of ways. You know, that goes for the athletes, but it also goes for some of these media executives as well. And I know there's some reporting in the past week or so about how Warner Brothers Discovery really did not think for a second that Comcast, NBC would come in over the top and take these rights from them. And of course, there's the intrigue with Mark Lazarus over at Comcast, who was, you know, a former Warner Brothers Discovery executive. There's an angle there where Zaslav probably in many ways feels like he was outmaneuvered by Lazarus, you know, which, to be quite frank, it seems like he was. But yeah, this kind of seems like it's almost tantrum-like from WBD. And, you know, they do have kind of the populist messaging going for them when it comes to, you know, Charles Barkley and inside the NBA and, you know, people just liking the production of their NBA games and their studio. But really, it stops there, right? That's about all they have going for them. For now, it kind of is what it is with the NBA.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think when all is said and done, you know, there's going to be big, big consequences for WBD losing the NBA. But it's not a killer. It doesn't mean TNT won't exist. It means TNT won't make as much money, but it will continue to exist. But if they lose those other rights, then we can start talking about TNT having no reason to exist. You know, we haven't talked specifically about the lawsuit. I'm not going to get into all of that, you know, very jargon-filled stuff. Certainly, you know, do they have an argument? It's a tough one because to me, you know, they're saying that their 2014 deal grants some cable rights that also extend to all non-broadcast, you know, sources, which would mean that Amazon, even though it's streaming, would be cable rights the same way TNT is. I don't know. We'll see. I know the judge is apparently someone who represented the Cilna brothers, the ABA St. Louis Spirits owners, when they were negotiating a settlement with the NBA for a piece of the league's TV money that they had contractually as part of the original merger in 1976. So there's, you know, you never know. The Sunday ticket deal tells you, you never know what can happen.
Yeah. And it is very interesting that the original language in that 2014 contract, you know, it didn't mention streaming at all. So, you know, just the absence of that language will leave a lot up to interpretation while this is litigated. So, John, there will be, I'm sure, plenty of more news breaks to come out of this story. But for now, I think that's a good place to leave it. Do you have anything else you want to get to before we close out the show?
I might as well say, you know, we do have the NBA returning to NBC. We saw the ad. You know, I've been thinking a lot about nostalgia and what real nostalgia versus, you know, nostalgia with air quotes, where people kind of know that people like a certain thing from the past, but they don't know why they liked it. And I always think that when I hear the Round Ball Rock, right, the John Tesh theme, and people use the original cut of it, which is the one that has tons of repeats, right? And it's the one that NBC didn't really use very often when it had the NBA. It's always like, okay, so you just know people like the song, but you don't even really know the song, you know? And it's a small quibble, but I mean, I've noticed that that's the cut that they're using on the Olympics, in the advertising, that's the cut that Fox used. And it's not the actual, like, that's not what they were playing most of the time in the 90s and 2000s. It's a small thing, but it's one of those where it's like, okay, this isn't like informed nostalgia. This is like the Frasier reboot, where they know that Frasier is supposed to start with, you know, the little radio jingle, and it's supposed to have the little title cards, but they don't understand why it had those things. Frasier started with the radio jingle because he hosted a radio show. Frasier doesn't host a radio show in the reboot. There's no reason to start the show with a radio jingle, right? The title cards also don't really make a lot of sense in the format of the show as it is now, since Frasier's not really living that upscale lifestyle anymore that he was living in Seattle. Like, all of these various things they just took directly from the 90s show, put it in the new show, but they don't really know why it has resonance, you know?
Well, John, you've been nothing but consistent with your, you know, healthy dose of skepticism when it comes to NBC's return to the NBA. You were kind of saying this was the probable outcome, you know, long before NBC secured the rights, that it was going to be kind of a, you know, a reskinned version of the NBA on NBC. You know, we're still over a year away, so let's give them a break. Maybe yeah. They will kind of recapture some of that magic, but you know, that's just one little detail, like you said, that that can kind of make or break those feelings.
I think NBC is going to do a good job. I think, you know, for one thing, ESPN set a pretty low bar, you know, so pretty much I expect NBC and Amazon to be pretty good compared to what ESPN's out there doing. And I think that Mike Tirico will be great. Dwayne Wade, I don't know. These Olympic broadcasts have not, you know, I don't know about D Wade.
I'm going to give him a chance. I wasn't a huge fan of his first game.
Yeah.
But that was also like his first, second real broadcast, you know. I'll give him time.
Yeah. So, you know, but I think NBC will do a good job. I just think that the nostalgia is going to be rote. It's not going to be by people who get why, right? Dick Ebersol is not there. None of the people behind the scenes are going to be there. There's a few folks who are still there at NBC on air that were there all the way back then. I think Sam Flood behind the scenes might be as well, maybe a handful of other people, but Lewis Johnson will be very interesting to me because he was actually NBC's lead sideline reporter along with Jim Gray during the NBA Finals in 01 and 02, replacing Ahmad Rashad when Ahmad went to the studio. So I'll be intrigued to see if Lewis Johnson gets a role in the new version. And Andrea Joyce, who is also still at NBC, did the NBA. I think those might be the only two folks still at NBC from the NBC the NBA days. But, you know, you have to understand, like, why people like it. You can't just play the song. You know, that song plays in this Kevin Hart commercial. It's one of the worst commercials I've ever seen in my life. I mute the TV. I love Round Ball Rock. I won't listen to it played in that commercial, right? So it's a small thing, but I noticed that they, you know, I'm sure they've got the cuts from like the NBA and NBC somewhere in the NBC vaults. I'm sure GE didn't take them with them when Comcast, you know, took over. So we'll see what happens there. I mean, Tesh is recording a new version of it anyway. The other thing, too, is does Tesh know exactly, like, what people liked about this necessarily? Because I'll tell you something. If the new version of this has all those repeats in it, because I promise you, that original version that just repeats the main parts of the song over and over and over again, like four times for each section, that's a no-go for me. We can't have any of that repeating going on. Just quickly, the women's basketball opener, 3 million viewers for that. I know a lot of people were thinking this is going to tank without Caitlin Clark. 3 million's okay. I mean, it's not great, but it does beat all but one WNBA game this year. The All-Star game did have more viewers, 3.4 million, over the year broadcast TV, of course. USA men's basketball opened with 10 million, nearly 11 million, I should say, on NBC. All of these numbers, of course, are NBC's special TAD, Nielsen plus Adobe Analytics. Try to find me a single time when NBC just gives you a single number, one measurement company, one platform. Hey, look, if you want to move on from Nielsen, I'm fine with that. But all I ask is that everyone use the exact same thing, because that's kind of the point. Everyone needs to use the exact same thing. This whole business of adding in all these numbers. I mean, I should point out, and I've noted it before, NBC's rationale is that they don't have their streaming viewership measured by Nielsen. So they have to include the Adobe Analytics in order to be on parity with the other networks, to which I say, just have Nielsen measure your streaming viewership already. I mean, we know that Nielsen can measure Peacock. We just saw that during the NFL season, but whatever. Long story short, the Olympics is doing well. And certainly, no matter what, one thing I think cannot be disputed, it's doing better than it was 3 years ago, the nightmare COVID year in Tokyo. So up is up, and these are up. Whether they're up as much as NBC says is up for debate. Yeah. All right, that's going to do it for the SMW podcast this week. We'll be back with more sports media talk down the line.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.